Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Yud Zayin. We had discussed in yesterday's shiur a statement that Chagai Hanavi had made to the Kohanim of his time when they were returning at the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. He was testing them to see if they knew the halachos of Tumah and Tahara. And we had had at the very top of the Yomud, Rav telling us that in fact the Kohanim answered incorrectly. They did not know that a Revi by Kochim was in fact Tomeh. And they had erred, and they said that a Revi, in fact, was Tohar. So according to Rav, they had made a mistake. As the Gemara says, Ishtabesh Kohane, the Kohanim made a mistake. According to, however, Shmuel said that the question that Chagai had asked them was a Chamishi, Tohar or Tomeh. And they answered correctly by saying that a Chamishi was Tohar. There is no concept of beyond the Revi when it comes to Kachim. And according to Shmuel says, Lo ishtabushe. So the Gemara says, now we begin three lines from the top, Yud Zayin Umad Aleph, Gufa. We'll go back and discuss that conversation again that Chagai had with the Kohanim. According to Rav, Gufa, Rav Amar ishtabush Kohane, and Shmuel Amar, Lo ishtabush Kohane. Rav, as I just said the Kohanim didn't know the answer. They said a Revi was in fact Tohar when it is in fact Tomei. And Shmuel said the question was about a Chamishi, and they correctly answered that a Chamishi is Tohar. And the Gemara expands on this and says, Rav Amar Ishtabush Kohane. Rav says the Kohanim made a mistake because Revi Bakodesh Boy Minayu. Chagai asked them, what is the halacha by Revi? And they said that it is Tar when it in fact is Tameh. Shmuel Amar Lo Ishtabush Kohane. Shmuel said the Kohanim did not make a mistake because what Chagai had asked was Chamishi by Kodesh Boy Minayu. He asked them about a Chamishi from Ulay Tar. And they correctly responded that the answer is Tar. Now, the Gemara is going to say, Bishlom al-Rav, everything from the Psukim makes sense. The way we learned it yesterday, according to Rav, the Psukim that we brought down makes sense. Hainu d'chsiv arba. That's why it said four things. When the Pasuk said that the sheretz that was in the corner went and touched the bread, which then went and touched the nezid, which then went and touched the yayin, which then went and touched the oil. So you went from the sheretz, which is an avatoma touching the bread, making it into a rishon, making the nezid then into a sheni when the bread touches the nezid, and then the nezid touches the yayin, making it into a shlishi, and the yayin touches the shemen, and that makes it into a revi. So the numbers seem to make very good sense. Elul Shmuel, but according to Shmuel, Chamishi minole, how does this become a Chamishi here? There doesn't seem to be enough steps that the question was a Chamishi, like Shmuel says. Shmuel says, no. Look at the Psukim carefully. Miksiv v'noga kinofo, does it say that the sheretz that was in the corner of the garment of the beged, that it touched the bread? No, that's not what it says. It says v'noga b'chnofo ksiv. It says that the sheretz touched the garment, making the garment into a rishon, and then the rishon touched the lechem, the bread, making that into a sheni. The bread then touched the nezid, making it into a shlishi. The nezid touched the yayin, making it into a revi. And the wine, the yayin, touched the shemen, making it into a chamishi. That's the way Shmuel would understand the psukim. And by mesh and naga bichnofo, it's talking about the sheretz touching the garment and then going down the line. And therefore, when you're reaching up to the shemen is a chamishi. And that's why Shmuel says Chagai asked them about a Chamishi, and they correctly answered that it is Tar. Now we're going to question Rav from another Pasuk in Chagai. So Toshma, the Brisa says that there was another question that Chagai asked the Kohanim. It says, Vayomer Chagai, Chagai says to the Kohanim, what is the halacha? Im yiga tomi nefesh b'chol eila. If a person who's tomi nefesh were to come and touch all of these things, not talking about a sheretz, talking about a person who's tomi meis, a tomi nefesh, a tomi person. So hayitma, when he touches this whole list of things, does that make it into a tar or tame end result with the oil? So hayitma, vayanu akonim, vayomu yitma, and the kohanim answered and they said, yes, it is tame. So according to Shmuel, it's no problem. Bishlam Shmuel, midahach lo ishtabish, hasim nami lo ishtabish. Just like in the first case, Shmuel said the kohanim were familiar with the laws of tum and tara when they passed the faher from Chagai. So too over here, they got the correct answer, yitma, that in fact will make them tame. They didn't make a mistake either time. They got it right both times. The first time, it was, in fact, a chamishi, and they got it right in saying it was tohar. And this time, it's a revi, and they got it right, and they made it tameh. So they got everything right. No problem. El Rav, according to Rav, Maishno Hocha de Yishtabish, or Maishno Hosam de Lo Yishtabish. So according to Rav, before they didn't know it was revi, that it was tameh, they said it was tar, and here They're saying that Revi is Tomei, and they're getting it right. How come they're not consistent? How come before they got it wrong, and now they got it right? Seemingly, they've changed their opinion, and what made them change their opinion? Why did they get it wrong the first time and right the second time? So, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Ravua. Rav Nachman says the name of Rabba Ravua, says no. In fact, Bikin Heim B'Tumas Meis. This second case was talking about a din of Tumas Meis, and that they got correct. The Ein Bikin B'Tumas Sheretz. But by Tumas Sheretz, which is a lower level of Tumah, they made the mistake. So no problem. According to Rav, the first question was it was a Tumas Sheretz, and they taught by Revi of a Tumas Sheretz, you're in fact Tar, and they made a mistake. But when it came to the Revi, in regards to Tumas Meis being the origin of the Tumah, they got it right because they were Bikin in Tumas Meis. That's the Teretz number one, Rav Nachman Am Rabba Ravua. A second Teretz, Revi Nomar, Hasa Revi, Hacha Shlishi. The two cases are different. The first case was a Revi. As we pointed out, the Sheretz touched the Lechem, which touched the Nezid, which touched the Yayin, which touched the Shemen. So that was Revi. But here, we're talking about that the Adam was an Avi Avosa Tumah. It was, in fact, something that was an actual mace. So the actual mace touched the bread. That made the bread into an Ava Tumah, not a Rishon. And then the Ava Tumah bread touched the Nezid, making that into a Rishon. The Rishon Nezid touched the Yayin, making it into a Sheni. And the Yayin Sheni touched the Shemen, making it into a Shlishi. Ah, according to Ravina, everybody knows that a Shlishi is Tomei. So therefore, the Kohanim got it right. What their mistake was on the Revi level, and therefore they're consistent. They didn't know the answer to a Revi, but they knew the answer to a Shlishi. That's Ravina's second Teretz. Now the Gemara says, Toshma, we'll ask another question, and this one is going to come to Shmuel. Vayan Chagai. So Chagai continues his conversation with the Kohanim. Vayomer, and he says to them, Kein Om Azeh, V'chein Agoy Azeh, L'fonai Niyum Hashem V'gomer. So he gives them the following exhortation, which actually comes from the end of the Pasuk, which we have V'gomer. Rashi fills in the details, and Rashi says, Seif V'dekro, the end of that Pasuk is, V'chein Kol Maisa Yedehem, V'asher Yakrivu Shom Tomehu. He tells him that everything that you touch is Tomei. Now, on the surface, Mishlom al-Rav, Haidun Tzitziv Tomei. We understand why all of their handiwork, Kol Ma'isei Yedeihem, becomes Tomei, because they didn't know the dinim of Tomei and Tara. So Rav, who says that they made mistakes, so works out very, very well. Haidun Tzitziv Tomei. We understand why Chagai is telling them everything you touch is Tomei, because you don't know the rules. However, El Shmuel, who says that they didn't make a mistake, Loish Tabush, they didn't make any mistakes, am I Tomei? So why is Chagai telling them that what you touch is Tomei? They're expert in the halacha, so why are we worried that everything that they touch is Tomei? Am I Tomei? So Gemara says, no. What Shmuel is saying over here is like a rhetorical question. Is Smuei called Misama? Shmuel is saying over here that Chagai is telling the people, you know the halacha so well, and in fact, is this in fact Tomei? It's a lashon of Tmiya. No, you guys know that halacha, so of course it's not Tomei. That's the way Shmuel would have to understand this pasuk in Chagai. Gemara doesn't like this, however, because that's not the way the words really work. Because when the pasuk says v'ha, and this is again the v'gomer, the end of the pasuk, it says v'chein kol ma'isa yadayim k'siv. It says all of your handiwork will be Tomei. It's not saying it in a rhetorical way. It seems to say, and likewise, all of your handiwork will be Tomei. Right? It says the things that you're touching are in fact going to become Tomei. So you can't tell me that it's a ismue kol misama type of a response. So Gemara says, you're right, Taka. On the Mazurcha, Vitein Ravashi. Mazurcha says the name, and others say it was Ravashi. In fact, what Chagai is doing here is giving a nevuah for the future. And he says, Mitosha kilkalu es maaseihem, because you're unfortunately not doing the right things. As Rashi says, Le'achaz man hoy misnavi, he's talking about in the future, Shiyakalkalu maaseihem, b'vay sheni, b'shara deirus, that Nebuch, as you return and you're going to establish yourselves, you're going to do other errors, you're going to make Nebuch some serious sins, so therefore, what Chagai is telling him is the nevuah for the future, because kilkalu es maaseihem, because you are going to go down the wrong path and sin. So therefore, mal aleihem hakasav, the Torah tells him the ki'ilu kriv b'tumah, because you're going to do bad things. So it's as if you're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tumah. We know the famous statement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that what do I want your korbanos for? I want you to be good. It's not your korbanos that I want. It's not your rituals that I want. I want you to be good people. I want you to follow what I'm asking you to do. And Nebuch, he's telling them in the future that they're not going to, and that the kilkel of their ma'asim is going to, in fact, make them as if they were doing everything but tumah. So that's how Shmuel would understand the conversation between Chagai and the Om. Now the Gemara says, we go back to a discussion we had yesterday. Remember we had Yosef ben Yoezer Ish Sreda, or Rabbi Yosef ben Yoezer Ish Sreda, again, or the Gersa that we have is Yosef, the Gersa that Rashi has is Yosef, but many say that the Gersa should be Rabbi Yosef ben Yoezer. In any event, he had made the statement about the Mashkim. We had the Gersa of the base Mitbechaya, the Mitbach, the place where the Tabach, the butcher area, the kitchen area, where there was on the side, the northern side of the Azara, where after the animals were shechted in the Beis HaMikdash, so they would flay them and clean them, and there was a lot of dam, and there was a lot of water there. So that's the way we understood this concept yesterday, when Yosef ben Yoezer had said that the mashkim of the Beis Mitbechaya were in fact tar. So, Gufa, we go back, Rav Tani, the way we had learned it yesterday is actually the way Rav had learned it. Rav Tani, Mashke Beis Mitbechaya. When Rabbi Yosef ben Yoezer had made his statement, he said that this was referring to that the Mashkim of the Beis Mitbechaya, which is only Dam and Mayim, don't have the ability, according to Rav, we had a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, which we'll discuss again today, according to Rav, not only do they not have the ability to transmit Tumah Midaraisa, but they don't even have the ability to accept Tumah Midaraisa. That was the Mashkim of the Beis Mitbechaya. That's what we had learned yesterday. However, there's now another version of that. The Levi Tana, Levi had learned that when Rabbi Yosef ben Yoezer, Ish Sreda, had said that the Mashkim aren't Metame, he says, Levi Tana, Mashke, Beis, Mid Bechaya. Mid Bechaya means the Mizbeach. The Dal and Zayin are interchangeable. So he says that the Mashkim of the Mizbeach, the Mashkim of the Mizbeach is not only Dam and Mayim, but it's also Shemen and Yayin. It includes oil and water. Now, these are two divergent opinions, and now the Gemara is going to discuss them. Lil Levi, according to Levi, Hanicha, we say everything works out well according to Levi Shita, Yisrael Lake is Shmuel, if he holds like the opinion of Shmuel. This was a separate machlokis between Rav and Shmuel yesterday, which I just alluded to, where Shmuel had said, Dachon le miletame tumas acherim, that when Shmuel said that Rabbi Yosef ben Yoezer made the statement that there is no tumah on the Mashkim, so he was talking about Dochom Militane Tumas Acherim, that they have no ability midaraisa to go and transmit Tumah down the line to something else. Habal Tumas Atzman Yeshlam, but he held that they are capable of accepting Tumah themselves. So that was Shmuel, and this works out well according to Levi. Mishkachas law, you easily find that this is the case. The Noge Kula Berishon, when Chagai is talking about saying that the people made something Tumah, so how did they make something Tumah, like Yayin and Shemen, if it doesn't accept Tumah? So obviously, it works out very well, according, if Levi holds like Shmuel, that these types of things can accept Tumah, so we understand the Pesukim in Chagai. They may not be able to transmit Tumah, but they can accept Tumah. We had said that the Yayin Shlishi had transmitted Tumah to the oil, the Shemen Revi, so that seems to be transmitting Tumah. According to Shmuel, it was a Revi potentially transmitting to Chamish. He says, no, that's not the way you understand the Psukim. The Nage Kula Berishon. According to Levi, you have to understand it, that in fact, each of the items mentioned in the Pasuk actually touched the Rishon. So therefore, it wasn't that the Yayin touched the Shemen, but each of them had touched the sherets. Oh, very, very good. Everything works out okay. According to Levi's understanding that it's talking about Mashkin Beis Mitbechaya, it's talking about the Yayin and the Shemen as well. And therefore, how did they become Tameh? He would have to understand the Pasuk, meaning that the sherets touched each of these items directly, not one to the other, to the other, to the other, but the sherets touched the Yayin directly, the sherets touched the Shemen directly. That's why they were able to accept Tumah, like Shmuel said, but they couldn't transmit it further. Oh, so Levi, if he's understanding this Mashkim Beis Mitbechaya, like Hishita, that's talking about the Yayin and the Shemen as well, must hold like Shmuel that they can accept Tumah, because the Pasuk certainly says that they accept Tumah. However, if he were to hold like Rav, Elo Isav Elo Kirav, if he were to hold like Rav, well, Rav says that they don't even accept Tumah, never mind they don't transmit Tumah, they don't accept Tumah, the Amar Dochon Mamish, it means that they're totally Tahar. So if you're going like Levi and saying that it's talking about Yayin and Shemen, so Hechem Ishkasla, how would you understand the Pesukim in Chagai? Doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, Yataka, right. Akocha Kishmul Sirule. Levi must hold like the position of Shmuel in the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Levi is arguing with Rav, number one, on whether it's based Mit Bechaya, like Rav, or Mid Bechaya, like Levi. And number two, he's arguing, and he's saying that in the Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, as to whether the statement of Rabbi Yosef ben Yoezer was talking about transmitting or accepting, he must hold, like Shmuel, that it's only talking about that it's Torah from transmitting to him, but like Shmuel, that it can accept Tumah. So Levi must align with the Shita of Shmuel. He can't align with the Shita of Rav in the Machlokes of Rav and Shmuel. Of course, he's arguing with Rav in the Shita of whether it's Mit Bechaya or Mid Bechaya. Now the Gemara says, Ulu Shmuel. Now according to Shmuel, who said that when Chagai asked his questions in the earlier Gemara today, in the end of yesterday's shir, so Shmuel had said that the Kohanim didn't make a mistake in either situation. They knew that a Revi, in fact, could accept Tumah, and that they knew that the Chamishi could not accept Tumah. So according to Shmuel, so he must hold in this Machlokas of Rav and Levi like Rav. It works out well, according to Shmuel, if he says like Rav, that it's talking about the Tani Mashke Beis Mit Bechaya, that it's talking about only Dam and Mayim, so then we understand. Abo Mashke Bei Mid Bechaya, but the Shemen and the Yayin, these are talking about Achrine Nami Mitamu. They have the ability to go and be Mitami something else. Very good, because if you hold like Rav, that it's not talking about the Yayin and the Shemen, so we can understand how you can have the progression of the Yayin making the Shemen Tomei from a Shlishi to Revi, or from a Revi to a Chamishi, not being able to make it Tomei, but there is a potential of transmission, and that's why the question was appropriate. But that's only if you hold that it's talking about, Yosef Yezid says that they can't transmit, it's only talking about Dam and Mayim, but it's not talking about Yayin and Shemen. So Shmuel can work out, if he understands in the Machlokas between Rav and Levi, like Rav. Because as the Gemara says, Revi, hu delo Ovid Chamishi, Hoshlishi, Ovid Revi. But he understands that there is a transmission of Tumah, that while the Revi can make Chamishi, the Shlishi can make Revi. So Yayin can transmit to Shemen. That's great if you hold like Rav. It says that Yosef ben Yoezet never made a statement about Yayin and Shemen. He was only talking about the Bei Mit Bechaya, which is only Dam and Mayim. Everything works out great. Shmuel holds like Rav in the Machlokas of Rav and Levi. However, El Yisava Yisava Kilevi, if you're going to tell me that Shmuel tries to accord with Levi's opinion, the Tani Mashke Bei Mid Bechaya, that if you're talking about Yayin and Shemen as well, so then his Shita doesn't make any sense. My ear, your Revi, the Lo V'Chamishi, why did the Kohanim answer that a Revi can't make a Chamishi according to Levi, when you're talking about Yosef ben Yoezer saying that it can't transmit at all according to Shmuel? That means it can't transmit not only from a Revi to Chamishi, it can't even transmit Afilu Sheni, and Rashi has the Girsa, the Sheni of Yayin can't make a Shlishi of Shemen. So Afilu Sheni, Shlishi Nami Lo Avde. A Sheni can't even make a Shlishi. So why are you asking me about a Revi making a Chamishi? A Sheni can't even make a Shlishi. According to the Girsa we have, it's just saying Afilu Sheni Shlishi Nami Lo Avde. It means that it can't transmit Tumit also. A Rishon can't make a Sheni can't make a Shlishi can't make a Revi. It's more of a general statement. Rashi has it more of a specific statement. But both of them are saying the same thing, that there's no way for Shmuel to accord with Levi's understanding of Yosef ben Yoezer, Ish Sreda. And the word says, Yataka, right? Al-Karchach, Kirav Sirule. Rav is the only way that Shmuel can be understood in his Shita. Shmuel cannot accord with the opinion of Levi. So what the Gemara has now told us is that Levi actually must hold like Shmuel, and Shmuel, in fact, must hold like Rav. Again, we're talking about different machlokas in over here. In the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, Levi must hold like Shmuel. And the machlokas between Rav and Levi, Shmuel must hold like Rav. Now the Gemara says, we have braises in support of each of the statements that Rav made and that Levi made. Tani kavasi the Rav, tani kavasi Levi. Now, the style of the Gemara over here is sometimes we have that we have a statement A and then a statement B. Sometimes we'll first discuss A and then we'll discuss B. And sometimes we'll first discuss B because that's just what we left from and then we'll discuss A. Here we have the A, B, B, A type of a pattern in the Gemara. So we have first the Tanya, we say Tanya Kavasi the Rad, then we have Tanya Kavasi the Levi, but then we'll discuss Levi's Tanya Kavasi first. Tanya Kavasi the Levi, we'll discuss the Brisa now that seems to support what Levi said. It's the following Brisa. The Brisa states Hadam Bayayim Hashem Bamayim. All of these are Mashke Bei Mid Bechaya. All of these are the Mashkim that Levi had said is what Yosef ben Yoezer was speaking about. And in all of these situations, the Brisa says Shenitmu Bifnim. If they became Tomei inside the Azara, Votziyan Lechutz, and then you took them outside the Azara, what's the Locha? The Locha is that they still remain Tahorin. Because again, Levi's version of Rav Yosef ben Yoezer is Sreda. Is that these mashkim of the mid bechaya don't have the ability to transmit tumah. And this is true not only when they're in the Azara, but even when they leave the Azara. So in Shenitmu Bifnim, Votzion Lechutz, Tarin, they still remain tar, meaning that they can transmit tumah even outside the Azara. However, if they were Nitmu Bechutz, if any of these mashkim of the Bay, mid bechaya, the Dam, the Mayim, the Yayin, and the Shemen, if any of them became tumah outside nitlu b'chutz, and now v'chnisim b'fnim, and you bring them inside, tzmeim, they do have the ability to continue to transmit. The statement of Yosef ben Yoezer was only going on the mashkim of the base mid-b'chaya. That was a unique din, and it only applied in the Azara. Now, that's what the Braisa says. And this is a raya to Levi, because it certainly says that we're talking here about the mashim of the bay mid bechaya, the dam, the mayim, the yayin, and the shemen, and it's telling us the din that Rav Yossi ben Yoezer, Yisreida, had said that they can transmit only if they're outside the Azara, but they can transmit when they're inside the Azara. That's exactly the shita of Levi, according to Rav Yossi ben Yoezer, Yisreida. So this is the tanya kavasi to Levi. Where it says, really? Ini? Is it so? That's not correct. Rishon Levi said, Mashke Beis Midbechaya, the Mashkim of the Beis Midbechaya, the Dam, the Mayim, the Yayin, the Shemen. He says, Lo Amru Dochon Elibim Koman. We only said that they don't have the ability to transmit Tumah only when they're in their place, in the Azara. Now, my lav lemute nitnu bifnim votzil lechutz, doesn't this seem to argue, this statement of Yishuv and Levi seems to argue with this Braisa. The Braisa says, even if you take them outside, they still don't transmit Tumah. But Yishuv and Levi says that if you take them outside, they do transmit Tumah. So it seems to be a steer between Yishuv and Levi and the Braisa. So Gemara says, my lav lemute nitnu bifnim votzil lechutz, isn't this exactly what Yishuv and Levi is saying, that if they take them outside, they are in fact able to transmit Tumah outside? We have a stira. So Gemara says, "Lo, we don't." In fact, what Rav Shimon Levi is saying is lim ute. He's coming to limit the case of that they're not capable of transmitting tumah if they were only inside, and they were becoming tumah inside. So then, even inside or outside, they're not capable of transmitting tumah. But he's excluding the case lim ute nitmu b'chutz, if they became tumah outside the azara, and then v'chnisan inside the azara b'fnim, they can transmit tumah. But it says, it seemed to say, Yishuv and Levi said that they're tar in their place, meaning bimkomam they're tar, and not outside. So again, he seems to be arguing with the Braisa. So one says, no, that's not what Yishuv and Levi said. This is what Yishuv and Levi said. Lo amru dachan, we only said that they're considered tar, and they can't transmit tumah, ella, if they were shenitmu bimkomam, if they were tameh inside the Azara. Once they're made tameh inside the Azara, Rabbi Yosef ben Yoezer says, Yisreida's statement kicks in that there is no ability for them to transmit Tumah. And that's whether they stay inside or whether they go outside. But if they became Tumah outside, then in fact they can transmit Tumah, and even if you bring them inside, they still can transmit Tumah. So here we have a Tanya Kabose the Levi. Now, Tanya Kabose the Rab. Now we have the Brice in support of Rab. What is that? It says Hadom v'Hamayim. It says specifically only talking about the Mashkim of Mashke beis mit bechaya, dam and mayim. And this Braisa says, shenidmu, they became tamei, and this is true, whether bein bekelim, bein mekarka, whether they're inside a keli, or whether they're in the ground, tahorin. They are, according to Rav, they are tahor. They can't not only transmit tumah, they don't even accept tumah. So here's the Braisa, the Tanakhama of the Braisa, clearly is saying like Rav, that these mashkim of the beis mit bechaya, only dam and mayim, they're the ones that are dochan, that are taharin, they can't accept tumah, and they certainly can't transmit tumah. Now we turn to the Amud Beis. However, we have the opinion that the gear says we have is Rabban, but it says on the side it should be Rabbi. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shimon tells us that it depends. The mashkim of the beis mit bechaya, the dam and the mayim, can in fact accept tumah bekelim. If they're inside a keli, then they are tmeim. However, bekarka, if they're on the ground, then they are tahar. Bottom line is, this Raisa is a Tanya Kavasi the Rab. It's clearly talking about only the base mit bechaya, the dam and the mayim. It's not talking about yayin and shemen, exactly like Rab said. Now the Gemara tells us, Omer Rav Papa, Rav Papa is going to give us a new way of understanding Rav Yosef ben Yoezer ish Sreida. He says, Afilu leman di Omer tumas mashkin de Raisa. Even according to the opinion, it says that this is dealing with a the Raisa concern in general, that Tumas Mashkin can transmit Tumah or accept Tumah on a Daraisa level. When Rabbi Yosef ben Yoezer, each straight that comes along and he says Mashke Beis Mit Bechaya, he just uses the Girsa that Rabbit had, when he says Mashke Beis Mit Bechaya is a Hilchasa Gemirila. This is Halacha Moshe Misinai, that this is an exception to the normal rule, the Daraisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that in general, Mashkim have the ability to be involved in Tumah. That's the general rule. And then along comes Rav Yosef ben Yoezer, he said that and tells us that there's a halacha Moshe Misinai that excludes from this din d'oraisa, not that it's gzeiras chachamim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a halacha Moshe Misinai to say us that this rule that in general Tumas Mashkin applies on a din d'oraisa, does not apply to the base mitbechaya, to the dam and the mayim in the azara. That's what Rav Papa says. So there's a general din d'oraisa, and then there's Halacha Moshe v'Sinai, another din d'oraisa that limits the general din d'oraisa. That's what Rav Papa says, and it's questioned. We're going to schlug him up with 2 points, and we'll ultimately say it's a kash and Rav Papa. Amalei Rav Huna b'reid Rav Nosson Rav Papa. Rav Huna b'reid Rav Nosson says Rav Papa. Wait a second. They're lahod yomar Rabbi Elazar, but we had a statement earlier that we learned in yesterday's shiur from Rabbi Elazar, who said, Ein tumo limashkim kol ikar. Rabbi Elazar's opinion was there is no concept midoraisa of mashkin having tumah at all. And where did he bring his raya from? Teda, he brought his raya from Shari Heyed Yosef ben Yoezer, each Sreda. Or again, here we have is Yosef ben Yoezer. Through Yosef ben Yoezer, each Sreda, al Mashke, base mit Bechaya, Dochan. And he brings a raya to a statement from the fact that Yosef ben Yoezer, each Sreda, said that the Mashkim of the base mit Bechaya, the Dam and the Mayim, are Tahar. Now, the E, Hilchasu Gemirila, if in fact, this statement, as Rav Papa claims, is a statement of Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai, so then how can you tell me that it applies to any place else other than where the Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai says, which is the base mitbechaya? So mi gamrina mi na, how can you learn out from Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai a rule any place else? Because he seems to be understanding, Rav Elazar understanding, is saying that in general, not only in the Azara, but in general, mashkim are not able to be metame. But the Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai, if that is correct, is only talking about the mashkim of the base mitbechaya, not talking about in general. So you have a problem if you understand it like Rav Papa does. So that's shlugging up number one. The Gemara continues and says, we'll shlug it up again. Amalei Ravina Ravashi. Ravina says to Ravashi that Rav Papa is wrong. V'har Rabbi Shimon, who just taught us above, the Amar Tumas Mashkim Daraisa, who holds that Tumas Mashkim is Daraisa, as we'd also learned in yesterday's shir, because we had the Tanya, we learned in the Brisa there, Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Shimon Omrim, this is the same Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Shimon said, that l'kelim torim, in regards to kelim, the suffix situation we had, mashkin becoming tome, and we weren't sure if they were in fact tome or not, so we said, in regards to ochlim, they can in fact make them tome, but in regards to kelim, we don't make them tome out of suffix. So l'kelim tohorim, l'ochlim tmein. So we do have the concept that it can transmit. Now, the halacha here, we just had the braisa. Karma, again, the gears we have is Rabban, but it really should be Rabbi Shimon. The karma, Rabbi Shimon, bekelim tmeyin bekarka tahorim. Here he differentiates, he says, the mayim of the base mitbechaya, the dam of the base mitbechaya, if it's in a keli, it becomes tomei, but in the karka, it is tar. The e hilchasi, but if you're telling us that this is Allah L'Moshe MiSinai, like Rav Papa wants to say, so then why would it differentiate between whether the dam or the mayim of the base mitbechaya was in a keli or it was in the karka? If it's Halacha L'Moshe MiSinai, mali b'kelim, mali b'karka. We don't find any such distinction. So again, Rav Papa shlugged up. The Gemara says kasha. In fact, these two opinions, Rav Huna b'reid Rav Nosson and Ravina to Rav Ashi, are both shlugging up Rav Papa, and the Gemara leaves it with a kasha. And that's what Rashi says, is the right gears over here. Kasha Garcina. Had Rav Papa lav milsehi. Therefore, what Rav Papa said is incorrect. It's nothing. V'chiyamra. And when Rav Papa said it, lav adaite, he didn't recognize or remember these other things. Lo yazochu l'mishnayis halalu. He didn't remember these two braises that he's being schlugged up with. That's the way Rashi understands it. Others understand it differently. And they aren't gorgeous over here, the word kasha. And they, in fact, paskin like Rav Papa. Now we have another statement of Rav Papa, unrelated to this statement that Rav Papa made. Another statement for Rav Papa. On Rav Papa, Hod the Amris be Karka Torin. That which we just said, that in Karka, the water, the dam, they are Tahar. According to this Brisa, we brought down the Tanya Kavasi de Rav. So Lo Shanu Elamayim. That was only talking not about both of them, like we just said. It was only talking about the Mayim. Avol Dam Lo. But Dam, even in the ground, is going to become Tomei. So this statement of Rav Papa differentiates between the Dam and the Mayim. And even the water, umayim nami, even when you're dealing with the water in the ground, it has to be a significant amount of water in the ground. It must be revius. A revius of water is considered something significant. Min haTorah, a person could put a machat, could put a nail inside, a tummy dikin nail inside a revius of water, and that can function as a kosher mikvah. It's only, according to some, midrabbanan, others say no, it's also din d'oraisa, that you require 40 saw for a mikvah. But, in fact, the daraisa for a kli, it's certainly clear that you could put a kli, a machad, a small utensil, as long as it can be fully immersed inside a revius of mayim. A revius of mayim is 3-4 ounces of water. As long as you can totally immerse the kli inside the revius of mayim, that's considered significant. And therefore, it's a good mikvah, mid daraisa for kalim. So here, Rapop is telling us, and that which we said, water in the ground, is this din of Rav Yosef ben Yoezer, Yisraida, is coming to teach us that it's lo amar and elo the heavy revius. It's only talking about if it was a revius. That is considered a davar chashuv. The chazi lahat bilbei machtin v'tzinoris. As I just said, you can go put a needle in it, or a tzinor, it's a little like little type of fork inside of it. So you can put these little utensils inside and totally immerse them inside this revius. So therefore, a revius is considered significant. However, avolo heavy revius, if you have less than revius, it's not considered a significant amount of water, and therefore its tmein is capable of becoming tameh according to this opinion of Rav Papa. Now the Gemara is going to go back and quote something we learned in yesterday's shir, Omamar. We quote yesterday's shir where we said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda told us that in the situation where we had a liquid that became tameh out of doubt, we're not sure, it's a suffix, did it or did it not become tameh, so Rabbi Yehuda had the most machmir opinion, and he said, Rabbi Yehuda said, no matter what, it becomes tameh. It touches kalim, it touches ochlin, both of them are tameh. Lakol tameh. Now, the Gemara tells us, Lememra, that implies the suffix Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda holds, Tumas Mashkin Latame Tumas Kalim is Daraisa. Since he says everything is Tummy here, it must be that he holds that the Mashkim have the ability to be transmitting Tuma on a Daraisa level. But that seems to disagree with what we're going to say is Vatnan, is a Mishnah in Kalim. There's a whole discussion whether it's really a Mishnah or it's a Braisa, and this Mishnah is very similar to the Braisa. In any event, we have the Gears of Vatnan, and it says over there in the Mishnah or this Braisa from Kalim the following. If a utensil has a base kibble, it has a receptacle, it has an area that can accept something inside of it, so therefore it has an inside and an outside. Toch is the inside, acharayim is the outside. So a keli that has a base kibble, for example, what are examples of a keli that has an inside and an outside? You can go in hakarim, vakasosos, you have pillows, and you have covers. They have stuff inside of them. Vasakin or a sack. Vahar matzufin. Matzufin is basically a certain type of a bag, usually made out of leather. So all of these have an inside and an outside. So the halacha is nitma b'tocho. If you matami the inside part, so then the outside is also tummy as well. Nitma gabo. But nitma gabo, if you were touching them from the outside, lo nitma tocho. The inside doesn't automatically become tummy as well. That's what the Tanakhama said in this Mishnah / Braisa. And Amar Rabbi Yehuda on this, Rabbi Yehuda comments, and he says, under what circumstances is the Tanakhama telling us his halacha? He's talking about shenitmu machmas mashkim. He's talking about where they were tomei via liquids. However, avol nitmu machmas sheretz, but if they were tomei via a sheretz, so if the sheretz, as opposed to liquid that was tomei, if the sheretz touched the inside or the outside, he says the halacha is the same. Nitmu tocho, nitmu gabo, nitmu gabo, nitmu tocho. He says by a sheretz, it doesn't make any difference where the sheretz touched the inside or the outside, the entire kli is tomei. Now, here's the kasha. If you're telling me that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Tumas Mashkin Latame Kalim Daraisa, that the Tumah of Mashkin has the capability of being Matame on a Daraisa level, so then what difference should it make over here? Mali Nitma Machmas Mashkin, Mali Nitma Machmas Sheretz. If they're both Daraisa and they each have the ability to be Matame this on a Daraisa level, so why by the Sheretz do we say it doesn't make a difference whether it touches the inside or the outside, the entire keli, both the inside and the outside is Tame, and by Mashkim, if it touches the inside, so then the outside is Tame, but if it touches the outside, the inside is not Tame. Why should there be any such distinction, which Rabbi Yehuda clearly says, but Medzvah Mamurim, so he clearly makes a distinction, but why should there be such a distinction if you hold, that Rabbi Yehuda holds, that Mashkim can be Matame on a Daraisa level? That's the Kasha. So the Gemara says, you're right, that's such a difficult kasha, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. The Amor Rav Yehuda says, in the name of Shmuel, that the Tana Rav Yehuda retracted his position. Chazaba Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda said, no, this is not correct. And in fact, Mashkim do not have the ability to transmit Tumah on a Daraisa level. It's only a Din D'Rabbanan. And therefore, if it's a Din D'Rabbanan, we can understand why they might make a distinction between the Tumah of a Sheretz, which is Daraisa, and the Tumah D'Rabbanan, and therefore the tumma of mashkin is only matami the entire utensil if it touches the inside, but it's not matami the entire utensil. It's just matami the outside if it touches the outside. That's teretz number one. Rabbi Yehuda retracted. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda retracted. Ravino Amar, no. Lola Mohada, no. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda did not retract his opinion, and he in fact holds it. The mashkin can be matami on the raisa level. So how come there's a distinction between the tumma of a sheretz and the tumma of mashkin? So he answers, ho be mashkin aboy machlis yodayin, ho be mashkin aboy machlis sheretz. It depends. How did the mashkin themselves become tummy? If they became tummy on a derabbanan level, i.e. from tumas yodayin, which is a din derabbanan, so then you're right. He makes a distinction. They can only be matami if they touch the inside. Then they're matami the entire utensil. But if they touch the outside, they're only matami the outside. They're not matami the inside. Oh, that's because its source of tumah was a derabbanan. So therefore, they can make a distinction. But ha, b'mashkin abo ha-machlis sheretz, if the tumah was a result of a daraisa tumah, that they were tummy from a sheretz, the mashkin were now tummy on a daraisa level, so then it doesn't make any distinction. It's just like the sheretz. If they touch the inside or the outside, the entire kli is tummy. Shmuel says, if this is correct, if what Ravina is telling us is correct, it's a nice distinction between how the water became tummy. If the water is tummy on a derabbanan level, so we make a distinction between the inside and the outside. If the water is tummy on a deraisa level with the sheretz, so then we don't make such a distinction. Ihachi, if this is correct, so then Adetani, instead of Rav Yehuda in the raisa, explaining the Tanakam and saying, Bamedvar mamurim shenitmu machmas mashkin. When Yehuda qualifies the Tanakam, he says it's talking about mashkim, water, as opposed to sheretz. So why did he give us that teretz? He could have given us a teretz. Instead of saying, b'medvar mu'ur mishinit u'machas mashkin, he should have said, liflog v'liste b'didei. He's talking about water, but it depends on the type of water, how it became tummy. B'medvar mu'ur mishinit u'machas mashkin, boy, machas yadayim. In a situation where it's mashkim that come from the hands, it's only the rabbanon, that's why the inside and the outside have different halachos. However, avol b'mashkin, boy, machas sheretz, if it's coming from a sheretz, so then he should have said, there is no difference between the two of them. Nit metocho, nit mogabo, nit mogabo, nit metocho. But he didn't give that teretz. So therefore, Ravina, your answer is incorrect. He, in fact, was hadar. And Boer says, therefore, you're right. The kasha on Ravina is too strong. And therefore, Ravina's teretz is incorrect. And we're left with the original teretz from Rav Yehuda the Amora. Halamachvart, it's white, it's clear. Kiddushaninon meikara. The teretz that Rav Yehuda Mershul gave, the chazar bo Rav Yehuda is correct. Chazar bo Rav Yehuda. Now the Gemara says, Ibailu, they asked in the base medrash, Mikalim hu dahadabe, did he retract both of his statements that the mashkim cannot be metame kalim? However, aval ochlim, in which he said they can be metame kirabi yosi, rabbi shimon sirule, he in fact holds that they can be metame on a daraisa level. In other words, that which he said, that originally the mayim, the mashkim, can be metame both kalim and Ochlim on a Daraisa level, when he retracted, did he only retract on the Kalim level, but the Ochlim level, he still holds a Rav Yosef Rav Shimon, who hold in that situation where it was a suffix that the Mashkin became Tameh, the Rav Yosef and Rav Shimon had said that Kalim aren't Tameh, but Ochlim are Tameh, so does he hold like them, or did he retract totally? Odilmot Legamri Hadabeh, and he says there is no concept of the Mashkin being able to be Metameh, not only Kalim, but not even Ochlim, Kirab Meir, like Rav Meir had said in that Machlokas. So the Gemara says, Amrav Nachman Yitzchak, I'll give you the answer, Toshma, because we have another Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in Parah, and it says over there, Parah Sheshasaso Mechatas. If you have a Parah that drank the Mechatas, it's not talking about a Parah Duma, this is talking about a regular cow that drank Mechatas. So the Mechatas normally is Metame, anybody that touches it. Now, that's only a human being. A cow cannot become Tame, a living cow. Only human beings, when they're alive, can accept tumah. All other animals cannot accept tumah when they're alive. But here, you shechted this cow. So if you shechted this cow that drank the mechatas, and you shechted it, as Rashi says, ba'odon b'meyehel, while it's still, the water is still inside of it, meaning within the same day, within a 24-hour period of time. So the Mishnah tells us in Parah, b'sara tumah, the flesh of this cow, Rashi says, whether it's a zevach or whether it's chulin, doesn't make any difference. It's makabela's tumah, Rashi says, mehen. It's able to accept tumah now that the animal is dead from this water that's still considered around within 24 hours. Because the mechatas metamin afilu adam v'kelim. Mechatas is able to be metame even adam and kelim, and certainly can be metame this dead cow. So that's what the Mishnah says. And along comes Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, return to the Yomad Aleph. Batlu b'meyeh. He says no, that the water inside the intestines, inside the stomach of the cow, is no longer considered mechatas and can't go and be metami the cow. Now, Even telling us that it was only the Kalim that he was hard to bear, but he holds like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, that in fact, Avo Ba'ochlin, it still has the ability to be Metame on a derice level. Can Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Sfirilei, so then, am I Batul B'Me'el Ligamre? So then why should it be Batul Ligamre inside the intestines? It still is around after 24 hours. Nihid, the Tumah Chamur over time. Okay, maybe it's not going to be as Chamur as it was beforehand. It lost somewhat its ability to be Metame. About Tumah Kalim, it should at least be able to be Metame on a lower level to give it some level of Tumah. It shouldn't be totally tar. So it must be that when Rabbi Yehuda retracted, he retracted entirely. He retracted not like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, to that level that it's Matame Oakland, albeit it's not Matame Kalim, but he holds like Rabbi Meir that it's not Matame at all. And Mor says, no. My Batlu B'meya, Nami. Batlu B'tumah Chamura. I will Tumah Kala Mitamu. No. This is exactly like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. It still does have the ability to be Matame Adam or Kalim, but albeit on a lower level. That's what it meant when it said over here, Batlu B'meya. Versus no, that implies we call the Tanakama so a Tumah Chamura Nami Mitamu. The Tanakama then, who is arguing with Rabbi Yehuda, seems to say that it can be Mitamu even on the highest level of Tumah. Habasara Tomik Tani. It says that the boss is Tame. Habasara Tomik Tani, which implies that it can't transmit it to Adam and Kalim. So it seems to be a lighter Tumah. So you can't tell me that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about a lighter Tumah, because then the Tanakama must be talking about a heavier Tumah, but the Tanakama is talking about only a lighter Tumah. So it says, no, it's not two opinions over here. It's actually all one opinion. Kul Rabbi Yehuda. This sounded like it was a machlok in this mission apart, but it really was all one statement of Rabbi Yehuda. The Chesur Mechzav HaGitani, we're missing some words, and this is the way you have to learn it. Parah Shishasasa Mechatas, if this parah, whether it was a Zevach or whether it was Chulin, drank from the Mechatas, and then it was shechted within 24 hours, Bisara Tomei, it's Basar Tomei. Now, Rabbi Yehuda continues. He was the one that made that first statement. But Mandavar, remember, under what circumstances are we saying it's Tomei? Tumah Kala. It only has the ability to be Tomei the Basar, but not Adam Mikalim. Aval Tumah Chamura, lo. Why? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bat lo B'me'ah. He says that inside the stomach, it lost some of its strength, but it still has the ability to transmit to the Basar, albeit it can no longer transmit to Adam and Kalim. That's teretz number one. Rav Ashi is a simple teretz. Rav Ashi Omar, lo'olam batul b'me'el ligarmei. No, when it's said over here, Rav Yehuda says batul b'me'el, it meant it lost totally its ability to go be metame, even on a lighter level, even on a tumah kala level. Why is that? Nishum dehavalei mashke saruach, because this liquid that was once nice, clear, pure meichatas is now disgusting intestinal fluid, which is mixed with all the excrement, which is mixed with all the schmutz, and therefore it's a mashke saruach. And a mashke saruach is not considered something that is edible, potable, and therefore it is not capable of being metamei. Again, some very difficult concepts and ideas over here. Baruch Hashem, with this we conclude today's shiur.